Welcome to Dateline RIT with Mike Safran.
Dateline RIT, April 24, 2008. Research by RIT Associate Professor of Industrial and Systems Engineering Matthew Marshall has shown that sign language interpreting is one of the highest risk professions for ergonomic injury due to the greater physical demands than some jobs typically thought of as high risk, such as assembly line work. Dr. Marshall, what did you discover in your study?
We set out to analyze the biomechanics of interpreting. Here at RIT and NTID are in a great position to do that. And one of the reasons why we wanted to do it was to assess what the biomechanical demands are of interpreting, to benchmark that against other known high-risk occupations, occupations such as manual assembly operations, things that involve a lot of hand-intense work. There's been a lot of research that's looked at the biomechanics of those types of occupations, mainly because of the numbers being so large as far as the number of employees. Not so much attention has been paid to interpreting specifically. Certainly there's been some research in the area, but not in the era of increased technology with better instrumentation, that kind of thing that we have in our lab. So we were able to look at interpreting using some equipment that has allowed us to measure velocity and acceleration of the wrist. And we were able to benchmark interpreting against these high-risk occupations and found that, in fact, interpreting had velocity and acceleration of the wrist that exceeded what would be considered a high-risk level. So that was an important finding alone. Most of us here at RIT and NTID appreciate what interpreters do, and just watching an interpreter, you can appreciate the physical demand of the activity, but this proved it in a more quantitative, objective way.
When you describe wrist acceleration and velocity as root causes of ergonomic stress, is that related to repetitive motion type injuries that we hear so much about in other occupations?
Yeah, we're trying to avoid the onset of what are called repetitive motion injuries. There's a lot of names for it. Cumulative trauma disorders, work-related musculoskeletal disorders, all those are names that are used for these types of issues. And obviously we're trying to avoid that in any way we can. And interpreting specifically, because not only are we concerned about the interpreter, him or herself, but also the impact that a shortage of interpreters would have on the full participation of people who are deaf or hard of hearing in society. NTID and the interpreting department here had done a pretty good job of reducing the number of injuries. The incident rates are quite a bit lower, but we want to make sure that we keep them that way.
I understand that there also may be a link between cognitive stress associated with sign language interpreting and ergonomic injuries.
Yes, that was the second aspect of the study, which was to evaluate what happens when somebody is exposed to what we call psychosocial stress, which means what parts of their job cause them anxiety and stress on a cognitive level, and how does that factor into the physical demands. And that's a general problem that's been studied in industry, and specifically with the back, and the research has shown that when people are exposed to these stressors, whatever the source of the stress is, there tends to be an increase in the biomechanics in the back of the spinal forces. What we set out to do was to study this with regards to the upper extremity using interpreters as an example. And so we in this particular study had interpreters in two groups, one that was stressed and one that was unstressed, and found that the subjects that experienced stress also had a higher level of velocity and acceleration of the non-dominant hand, all other things being equal. In other words, they were interpreting the same material, but we just induced a higher level of stress and the biomechanics were significantly different, which was an important finding, not just for interpreting, but also as far as it relates to upper extremity disorders in industry.
And lastly, what can be done to reduce the incidence of injury, and what's next for your study?
Well, that's a great question. One of the suggestions is that, well, maybe some of the physical demands could be controlled by considering the psychosocial factors of work. And that's something that I know that the Department of Interpreting Services is very conscious of. Just as a simple example, having an interpreter who is maybe accustomed to interpreting a liberal arts course, who is then maybe asked to fill in a math course in which they're not familiar with the material, the context, and all that, that would be a significant source of psychosocial stress. So one of the suggestions is that, well, if you can avoid those sorts of situations, then it's likely that you're going to also help to some degree with the physical demand. Your second part of your question regarding how are we going to extend this work, one of the things that we would like to do do is to take it out of the lab and to analyze interpreters in the field to see, as their daily demands change, how does the physical manifestation of the biomechanics change in response to that. And we want to look at that in the field as well, just to verify the results that we found in the lab.
That's RIT engineering professor Matthew Marshall describing research into ergonomic injuries associated with sign language interpreting. On the RIT campus this week, Chief Communications Officer Bob Finnerty introduces a familiar face as this year's RIT commencement speaker, and he counts down the days until this spring's Imagine RIT Festival. And News and Events Managing Editor Vienna Carballo has highlights from the latest issue.
This is Bob Finnerty. Stanley McKenzie, RIT Provost and Chief Academic Officer, is the 2008 commencement speaker. With 41 years of dedicated service to RIT, Dr. McKenzie has played a major role in past commencements, often behind the scenes. McKenzie will speak at 10 a.m. Friday, May 23rd at the Academic Convocation in the Gordon Fieldhouse and Activity Center. McKenzie will be stepping down as provost in June. He'll be back in the classroom in the fall to teach literature, including Shakespeare. College commencement ceremonies, May 23rd and May 24th, will recognize graduates individually. After more than 9 months of planning, the university's first Innovation and Creativity Festival is nearly here. On Saturday, May 3rd, more than 400 exhibits from students, faculty, and staff will be on display as the campus prepares to show off its best work. There will also be the traditional fun festival fare, such as food, carnival rides, music, and inflatable games for the kids. The festival will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on May 3rd, rain or shine. RIT hopes to attract 30,000 visitors to campus for the free festival. Parking will be available at RIT as well as MCC, where shuttles will be available. For more information, visit rit.edu/imagine. This is Bob Finnerty on the RIT campus.
This is News and Events Managing Editor Vienna Carballo. In the current issue of News and Events, RIT's popular Painting with Light project, The Big Shot, will focus on Rochester's own Erie Canal. News and Events provides a preview of the photo spectacular and offers an invitation for faculty, staff, and students to participate on May 8th. The Sam Patch, a replica of a 19th century packet boat, will be in the photo, and models dressed in period costume will be posed along the deck. Also in the current issue of News and Events, our student spotlight shines on College of Liberal Arts honors student Sam Brower, whose philosophy on learning includes meeting as many people as possible and serving his community as an active volunteer. And read our Viewpoints essay written by Mike Morley, chairperson of RIT's Board of Trustees, who shares his thoughts on Diversity Day, which will be held on campus April 28th. Read more about these stories and other RIT news in the April 17th issue of News and Events. This is Vienna Carballo on the RIT campus.
This has been Dateline, RIT, April 24, 2008. I'm Mike Safran on the RIT campus.
For more on these stories and other RIT news, visit www.rit.edu/news. Dateline RIT is produced by RIT University News Services.